I'm going to ask you to join me in a prayer right now written by John Stott. And it's a lovely prayer that reminds us that we are called into God's presence this morning. So would you read this together with me? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you've ever been asked by someone, what do Christians believe? You wouldn't go wrong by sharing with that inquirer who had that question, sharing with them the Apostles' Creed. Of course, I would suggest you do that in your own words, but you might just recite the Creed as it's written, because the Creed covers the basics. One God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Apostles' Creed tells us who God is and what God has done for us. And if that inquirer to ask you about Jesus, say, tell me more about Jesus. I want to know more about him. There's another statement of faith that's very simple that you could share, and it's this. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And notice the verbs there. They're past, present, and future. Past, he died for our sins. At a time in history, God acted in Christ to save us from our sins. And it's present. He is alive now. Jesus is not simply some historical figure from the past. He is the Lord of history. He is the risen Savior. He is the living King of Kings. You can tell someone, because Jesus is alive, I know him personally, and I have a living relationship with him. And then there's a future tense. He will come again. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's this last statement of belief about Jesus that is the theme of the first Sunday of Advent. Interestingly, this theme has been the theme of the last three Sundays as well, as we heard three parables from Matthew 25. The Christian faith emphasizes that Jesus will come again. So we hear that once again today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years from now. We simply don't know when it'll be. I've reminded you the last few weeks that people have been trying to predict his coming, and I've also quoted this scripture. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. Generations ago, the church began a tradition called Advent as a season to remember that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and especially that Christ will come again. The origin of the word Advent is from Latin, and it's a word which means coming. Advent is a season of the year when we prepare ourselves to celebrate Jesus' first coming when he was born in Bethlehem. This is called the Incarnation, when God took on our flesh. The Gospel of John describes the Incarnation this way. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 describes it this way. Christ Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The incarnation, the coming of God into the world, in the person, in the flesh of Jesus, is what we celebrate at Christmas time. But Advent is also a time to prepare for Jesus' second coming. And today, on this first Sunday of Advent, we hear about that second coming appointed by the Father when he will come again, as the Creed says, to judge the living and the dead. Advent began in the 4th century as a period of preparation for Christmas. Originally, it was a 7-week period appointed by the church for penance and to prepare also for baptism on Epiphany, which is January 6th. In the 6th century, it was changed to the 4 Sundays before Christmas, and that's, of course, the tradition we're familiar with. It marks the start of the church year. You're probably aware there are 6 seasons in the church calendar. There's Advent, Christmas, which is quite short, 12 days long, thus the song, the 12 Days of Christmas. Epiphany, Lent, Easter, then Pentecost, which is the longest of the six seasons. Not all denominations recognize the seasons of the year, and maybe for some of you, this has been new since you've started coming to Desert Hope, and for others of you, you've been celebrating Advent for as long as you can remember. A number of years ago, a Baptist pastor friend of mine came to me and said, tell me a little bit about Advent. He says, I want to do that practice of Advent this year. And I was very moved by that. And I said, sure, let me share with you about Advent. He said, I want to help my congregation prepare for Christmas. I want to do Advent. And so even churches that don't normally celebrate these different seasons, well, occasionally they do. And Advent causes us to ponder this question. How will I live today if I know the end of this life could come soon? Asking and answering this question has a way of clarifying our values, and it sharpens our priorities. It's a good question to ask at various times during the year, but especially helpful to ask that question right before Christmas, because Christmas has a way of being a rush, trying to get to Christmas, to have the perfect Christmas and to get all the things done that we think need to be done. And we can forget that life is bigger than this rush and forget that disciples are called to minister to a hurting world. And so we need to ask that question, how shall I live today if I knew the world were to end tomorrow? It's a good question to ask when we want to live life to the fullest, when we want to make every single day count. Each day is an opportunity. Each day is a gift to receive. And we can live in such a way that says, I believe in more than what I see here on earth. I believe there's something bigger, something better, something more powerful than any darkness than humans can devise. I believe that that something is a someone who is Jesus, who has come, he is here, and he is coming again. Martin Luther was asked this question, if he believed, what he would do if he believed the world would end tomorrow. And he responded like this. He said, well, I would go and plant a tree. In other words, Luther didn't panic. He didn't fret. Instead, he had every confidence that whatever comes, his future was secure, whatever the end might be. He would continue to live each day in that assurance of his salvation. On September of 2017, 1 month before the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, Lynn and I visited Wittenberg, Germany, where Luther started that Reformation. And while we were there, we had the honor of planting one of 500 trees that were planted in Wittenberg to celebrate the Reformation. And should you ever visit Wittenberg, go visit Luther's house and go across the street. And on the side, just next to the sidewalk across the street from Luther's house, is a tree that we planted. And there's a plaque that says that we were there. Well, when we planted that tree in honor of Martin Luther and in honor of that 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I thought to myself, we don't know what the future will bring. You know, Luther talked about planting a tree. We don't know what the future will bring. And there's so much uncertainty in the world. If that was true 3 years ago, it's multiplied today. But planting this tree makes a statement that our confidence is in God, come what may. We have this confidence about the future because Jesus Christ died for us. He is living with us, and he tells us he will come again for us. With that confidence, you can make the most of today in your work, in the ordinary things you do in life, in your families, in your relationships with friends and others, and in those causes that are important to you that God has laid upon your heart. I attended a Lutheran college, and we had chapel every day. And one day, the chapel speaker was a young man who was on the college baseball team with me. He was not the most talented baseball player, but he was the greatest encourager on our team. And so he gave the chapel message that day, and it fit his personality to a T. He started out by saying this, do you know what the origin is of the word enthusiasm? And before anyone could respond, he said, well, the root words that make up the word enthusiasm mean God in us. And because God is in us, he said, we can live with enthusiasm. Well, I'll never forget that message. And that was a long, long time ago. By tomorrow, I'll probably forget what I said to you today. But I remember that message about enthusiasm. It made an impact upon me. It struck a chord in my soul. God wants us to live enthusiastically because he lives in us. 2 years ago, a friend of mine sent an article about our alma mater's football team. They had gotten beat 97-0. That's hard to do. Not to score even a field goal or something, that's hard to do. And that's why, probably why I don't walk around wearing my alma mater's t-shirt, you know, like some people do of their school. And I thought to myself, you know, my buddy who gave that chapel talk, he needs to go back to that college and talk to that football team and light a fire under them, you know? Many of you remember Jim Valvano, who was the coach of North Carolina State basketball team, which won the NCAA championship in 1983. And he will always be remembered, if you see highlights of it, as the coach that when the gun went off, ran out on the floor trying to find somebody to hug, but his team was all hugging one another. And he was an enthusiastic guy. He was somebody who lived enthusiastically. When he was only 46 years old, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And 2 months before he died, he gave a speech on national TV, a speech that's still being viewed on the internet. You might want to take a look at it. Now, Valvano was an emotional person. He lived large, and he loved life. He is someone who strived to make every single day count. And let me read to you just a part of what he said in that speech. He said, "To me, there are three things we should do every day. We should do this every day of our lives. Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions move to tears. Could be happiness, it could be joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special." And then he went on to say this: "Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart. It cannot touch my soul. And these three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you and God bless you." Now, I don't know if Jim Valvano meant his speech to be a biblical speech, although he was Catholic, but it does reflect what Jesus taught about living life. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." And Jesus is not talking about having this life sometime in the future. Jesus is talking about having that life in the present. You can have life to the full even now. Jesus also said, "Remain in my love so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." What would you do if you knew the world were to end tomorrow? You don't need to wait to decide how you're going to live. You can do those things right now. Right now. Love those people that God has placed into your life. Finish the work that you've started. Be reconciled with those people who mean and matter so much to you. Be faithful to people and the task around you. And undertake a new endeavor. If there's a dream that you've had, but it has seemed audacious and you haven't tried it, well, give it a try anyway. Start now. Don't let fear control your life or your destiny. It's tragic how often fear prevents a good idea, a wonderful God-given dream, from ever taking flight. One of the great rarities in this world are courageous people. When we see them, we admire them. Well, be one of them. I loved how John Wayne defined courage. He said this: "Courage is being afraid and saddling up anyway." Isn't that great? Don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear steal your joy. Don't live with regrets either. You know, regrets, I could have, I should have. No, live life to the fullest today. Live today with enthusiasm. God is in you. Let Jesus Christ, who is resident in your life, be president of your life. Now, I know that some of you listening to this message might feel that life is falling apart, feeling like you're living at the end of time. Perhaps your own personal world has come apart. Perhaps you're at loss on how you're supposed to go on. Well, let me encourage you to pray a very simple prayer. It's this: Come, Lord Jesus. That's a good Advent prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, again into my life, or maybe for the first time, come into my life and to help me fully live with trust and confidence in you so I can make the most of today. Our hope is in Jesus who comes to us. If you want to make the most of today, then get up each morning and say, it's going to be a great day. It is going to be a great day today because God the Father loves me, God the Son is coming for me, and God the Spirit dwells in me. The Apostle Paul wrote these words. We heard it read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He will also strengthen you to the end, so you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice what Paul said here? He said, Jesus Christ will strengthen you to the end. Maybe you're in a difficult situation right now, and you don't believe you have the strength to meet the challenge that lies before you. But I want you to focus on Paul's words, and then maybe, with expectation, you're about to discover you have a strength you didn't know you have. And that strength is the strength your Savior, Jesus Christ, will give to you. Ask him to be your strength. Advent means coming. Jesus comes into our lives. He takes up residence in our hearts. He gives us strength and he gives us courage to meet the challenges that face us daily. He gives us love to love others and joy that we can share with others. And he gives us security that one day he will lead us home. So today, live for him now. Clarify your priorities, keep awake, be vigilant, live by faith in his steadfast love and mercy. Your future is secure when you trust in Christ. Make every day count. Amen.